Thank you very much for inviting me back. It's very kind of you. I am always encouraged by your prayers, because I do hear that you do pray for me, and that's very encouraging. That's something that I really need, and I am very much in need of. First of all, I would like to talk to you about the scripture, and then afterwards I will talk to you about the things that the Lord is doing at our place just down the road. You may ask the question, why did I choose this passage about Pentecost? But later on in the sermon, you will find out why. First of all, I would like to just to tell you that last time I came here with my wife and with my son-to-be. He was still on the way, he wasn't yet born. And today I am here on my own, and my dear wife and three children are back at home, and the fourth one is on the way. And they are lovely. They are. I really praise the Lord for all of them. And when I left home, they were just standing at the door and saying, "Well, Daddy, please don't go." I said, "Don't worry. Next time when I go in 4 years' time, hopefully if they invite me back, then you can come with me." But now, 7 o'clock is their bedtime, so they should be fast asleep by now. And I would like to tell you one thing about them. They are lovely, but they are full of energy. And they are just like their father. And what I mean by that, they just can't sit still for a second. And they are always on the move. But there is one thing that I always can tie them down with. And that is, if I give them the old photo album, where they can look back their own pictures and the family pictures and whatever is there, they always love to look at it. And then they are encouraged by it, and they say, "Well, I can remember this and that," and they are always smiling, they're always lovely. The reason I'm mentioning that, because now what I just read, it's something similar. We are looking back in time to the day of Pentecost, to the birthday of the church. And that was the time when the church came to being. And that's a great blessing, because the Lord showed his mercy towards us by simply bringing about the first church. And he did that in a very miraculous way. And I praise the Lord for that. And one thing that we have to remember about this passage, that it's one of the passages that people often misinterpret. And I have had quite a number of troubles because of it. Because people just say, "Well, everything should work in the same way as in Acts it worked at that time." I say, "Well, it's just like my photo album. It's lovely. It's nice to look at, but it doesn't work that way now." But nevertheless, it's an encouragement. It's lovely to have a look at it and explore it. Now let's have a look what really happened on the day of Pentecost. It says that all the disciples were together in one accord and in one place. And that's something that the Hungarians just love to do, and something that we have to learn. Because I call my own people occasionally, I don't know how it comes out in English, but I call them clever Hungarians. They know everything better than everyone else. They are just very knowledgeable, they think so, and they know their own ways. And if I ask someone's opinion about anything, and if I have five people in the room, they're going to give me five different opinions, and they just stick to it. And to get them together, that's really a job. And then I always say, "All right, now let's sit down, pray about it, and let us have a look what the Lord wants us to do." And that's how it works. But these people were there, all in one accord, together in one place. And that is lovely, because that's how the church works. It's all together, you are together, you work together, and you are united, and then you are strong. And even if one of them is just pulling aside, then it weakens the church. And if you just look at my hand, this one, it looks all right, doesn't it? It's just like today's church. You look at it, you say, "Oh, it's all right." But you don't know that this finger, this thumb, it has been broken. And if I try to open a thing with it, it just doesn't work. I had to use my other hand, because it's just simply not strong enough. You look, that's the difference. This one I can bend it, this one I can't. That's how it works with the church. You think that you are all right, but if one of you is pulling apart, then you got it. It just weakens you. So please, please, try and stick together. And what I just heard just a few minutes before I started, I just heard a very good report that the church is full on Sundays here at this place, and people are standing. That's great news. Try to stick together. Try to keep it that way. And praise the Lord together, and then the Lord will bless you in all his ways. And I don't know if you meet, if you ever met this phenomenon that I call spiritual butterfly. Have you heard about it? I have it with my dear folks at home, I mean back in Hammersmith, that sometimes what they think that in a church what they can do, they can just simply come to one church this Sunday, to the next church next Sunday, and the other one, the following one, and they just go around. And they are here and there and nowhere, and yet everywhere. And that's something that shouldn't be done, but what we should be doing, do the things that the apostles did on the day of Pentecost, stay together in one place, in one accord, and pray. Pray and ask for the blessing of the Holy Spirit, and then He will bless it. He will do it. Because God didn't change. I know more than 2,000 years has passed since then, but nevertheless, God didn't change. He's still the same God. He can still answer prayer, and if you pray in one accord, in one place, God can still give the blessing of the Holy Spirit upon you, and people will become saved, and then you can rejoice together by praising the Lord. And the other thing that you have to do when you pray about it, you have to believe it. You have to believe what you pray for, and be careful what you pray for, because you might get it. So there are two ways to it, but one thing that most people do, they pray about certain things, they pray about certain matters, and when they got it, they just don't want to believe it. And that is not a new thing, you know. If you read the New Testament, then you read about Peter, the apostle, when he was in prison, and the church, the first church was praying for it, and they prayed, well, Lord, can you just please get Peter out of prison? And yet, when he was out of prison, he was knocking at the door, they just couldn't believe it, could they? Aren't you like that occasionally? You just pray for something, and when it's there, you just hardly believe it. You're just not sure. So when you pray, please pray with one accord, in one place, and believe what you pray for. And then the Lord can bless it. He can do it. The next thing that the Lord says to us, that in that time when they were together, then suddenly appeared divided tongues like fire. And they were sitting upon the apostles, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, you can ask the simple question, why did the Lord Jesus send down His Holy Spirit in the form of a fire, not in the form of a dove, like in Jesus' case? The answer is very simple, because it simply gives a symbol. This is a symbol how the Lord is going to work in their lives, and in Jesus' life, how it worked, it was like in a piece, like in a form of a dove, but yet with the apostles, it's going to work like a fire. And let us examine the fire. What does it do? First of all, it burns, and it spreads very quickly. If you just make a small fire somewhere, in no time, it's going to burn the whole place down, if you're not careful. So that's something that the Holy Spirit does. When it starts, it goes really quickly. And if you just think about it, there were those 12 apostles. They were preaching the gospel, and yet now, almost the whole world knows about the Lord Jesus Christ. It did spread quickly. It did do the job. The other thing that it does, it purifies. It really does. You know, I come from a small village, from a small farm, and humanly speaking, it wasn't my choice to be in London. It's just simply not my cup of tea, if you like it. You know what I mean? But the Lord called me here, and nevertheless, we are happy now. I wasn't when I was called, though. but in those days, what we used to do, if we went out and we looked at big land that wasn't used for a number of years, we just simply burnt it up. And that, in that way, we purified the land, and we made it easier to work it. And to make it bear crops. So it just simply purifies you. And you remember, if you just look at the, if I look at my ring, it's gold. You know, when it's taken out of the mine, then they put it on a fire, they melt it, and that's how they purify it. And that's what the Holy Spirit does with us. The Holy Spirit comes in you, works in you, and separates the good from the evil in your own life. And that is something that the Lord does to you. And the other thing that it does, it either melts you or hardens you. And I can tell you, in the past 6 years that I have been working at the Hungarian Church in Hammersmith, I had seen both. I had seen people being saved quite often by the grace of God, and I had seen people hardened. And I can tell you, they can give you an extremely difficult time. Because when they sit next to each other, the person that has been born again, the person that has been hardened, they can give you a headache, I can tell you that. But nevertheless, the Lord is Almighty, He is God, He is strong, He can deliver us from their hands. It's up to the Lord. And you know what the Holy Spirit does in your life? It's like a river. It just starts in you, and it grows and grows and grows. By as the time passes, when you become a Christian, you are full of energy, you are full of zeal, you love the Lord, you go out and give testimonies, and you, as you go older, it doesn't go down, it actually grows over and over again. And there is life inside and there is life outside. People can see it. And the older you grow as a Christian, the more people will be able to see it, and the more people you will be able to testify, and then you can praise the Lord that the Holy Spirit is working in you and He is using you for the kingdom of God, that you may proclaim His word and His gospel. So it would be a good thing tonight that you may pray for the blessing of the Holy Spirit, that that may work in you and through you, that you may be able to spread the Lord's word to everyone with whom you meet. And let us have a look at the effect of the Holy Spirit, the blessings of the Holy Spirit. What happened afterwards? They were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they went out, and they were speaking in different tongues. And that is really the purpose why I came here tonight and chose this message. Because the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't want us to become a Hebrew or a Greek scholar in order to go to heaven. But I can tell you, that is extremely difficult. When I came to London, when I came to England and started my studies, I knew two languages. By the time I finished my studies, I knew five. And the last language I had to learn was Hebrew. And even though I had four languages before, I can tell you, to learn Hebrew language is extremely difficult. It really broke me. That was the time when I got white hair on my head. I just couldn't get around it, you know. It's so difficult. But I praise the Lord for the day of Pentecost. He didn't want me to become a Hebrew scholar. He gave me the Bible, not this one, this is an English one, but He gave me the Bible in my own language, that I can understand it and I can preach it. And I just can't praise the Lord enough times for His blessing that He gave me through the Pentecost. Because then the people were going out and they were talking about the blessings that the Lord Jesus did to them and what He was doing during His earthly ministry. And because, as I mentioned before, the Lord doesn't change and He still doesn't want us to become language scholars in order to get to heaven, I think that is one of the reasons why the Hungarian church is still in Hammersmith. Because even when the Hungarians come to London, then they are open to the word of God and they can listen to it in their own language. And that is the language that their mother spoke, and that is the language in which the Lord speaks to them and saves them. And I just praise the Lord for that. And when these people were out on the marketplace, they went there for the wrong reason. They went there because they heard the sound of a mighty wind. And they went there to see what's there, what's happening. Doesn't it happen today when you go somewhere in the city and you hear a strange noise, then you just go around just to see what's happening in there. And that's what the Hungarians do today. They come to the Hungarian church because they think, well, I might be able to get a nice and free meal. They think, well, I might be able to get a nice job if I haven't got one. Or they think they might be able to get accommodation. And they always think that I am an estate agent, I am a job center, and my wife provides free meal from everyone. And occasionally they think that we can put up the 15,000 Hungarians that are living in London today all at once. They all want to sleep at our place. Occasionally they come during the night to make it even better. So they come for the wrong reason. But nevertheless, what happens to them is the same thing that happened to these people when they went to that market square for the wrong reason. They went there to see what happened with that noise of the mighty wind. And then what happened to them? They heard the apostles preach, and they were saved. And 3,000 of them were saved on that very day. And that's what happens to my people. So that's why I don't mind, for whatever reason they come to me. I said, all right, come on. And when they say, well, I have this and that problem, I said, all right, just sit down for the service. And after the service, we have a cup of tea, and I can talk to you then. And usually, what happens about once or twice a month, or occasionally, even more often, people do get saved. And then I praise the Lord for that. Because I say, well, whatever reason you came in for the church, by the time you go out, you are going to be much richer and more blessed than you were when you came in. Because the Holy Spirit is at work, and He is saving people. And I can't do anything about it. All I do is just preach the word, as your pastor does, or any other pastor do in London. I'm not any better than them. I can say I am worse. And as you listen to me, you can notice that I'm a fast speaker, and I'm even worse in Hungarian, I can tell you that. So I'm not a great preacher. But nevertheless, the Holy Spirit is working. He is among us. And He does the job. You know, the Lord brings in the people from all over the place. And then He saves them. And then He sends them away as well. So people just come in and go. And that's what they do. And one thing that I would like to mention is that if you notice, as you read the scripture, then there were different nations mentioned in that scripture. And I would like to put an emphasis upon that, because today London is a city with many nationalities. And people are around you, and they speak all sorts of strange languages. And if I go on a bus or on a tube, there is hardly any time at all when I don't meet a Hungarian person on it. Because there are lots of them about. And the first church was made up of foreigners. If you just look at it, you name the number of nations that were there. They were made up of foreigners. And why? Because the Lord wanted so. The Lord was good, and He wasn't looking at their nationality. He wasn't looking at where they came from. He was looking at the man. Because every single man is a sinner. And he's in a need of God. And he's in need of salvation. And the Lord just simply saved them. And that's how the first church came about. So next time when you meet a foreigner, which is going to be very soon, I believe so, try to ask them the question, well, do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? And see what they say. And if they say, well, who is the Lord Jesus Christ? Then explain to them. Talk to them. And I can challenge you in one thing. They will never ever turn you off. They will be always willing to talk to you about the Lord Jesus Christ. They will always talk to you. And I can tell you things, and I will tell you later on. And even the strongest atheists that back home in their own country, they would reject to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ when they are out of their environment, of their safe environment, like in their own places. And they're out in a foreign country, they will talk to you, they will listen, and the Lord can save them. I had people that were extremely hard, and then one young man that was just saved about 3 weeks ago at our place, he was extremely arrogant, I can tell you that, when he came to the church. And then, next time when he came, he was saved, because the Lord saved him. He was working in him, and even he was a very strong atheist before. He could do anything to mock us. And he was mocking me when I was preaching, actually. But nevertheless, afterwards, the Lord saved him. Because the Lord is at hand. He is doing wonderful things. And we can praise the Lord for that. So please use this opportunity that we have today in London. The mission is at your doorstep. It's up to you to use it. The Lord used it on the day of Pentecost. He can use it today. And as I said, it won't be working in the same way as it happened then. You won't have 3,000 people saved on one day, but nevertheless He can save the one and twos, and He's still at work, and we can praise the Lord for that. Amen. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we praise you and worship you for being a loving God. We praise you that you sent the Holy Spirit upon your own people, upon the disciples. Oh Lord, we just pray that your Holy Spirit may be working in this place and you may save people from whatever nation they are coming from. From wherever they come from, be it English people or foreigners, please, O Lord, work in their hearts. And please, O Lord, bless them and have mercy on them. And please, O Lord, bless this church and give them unity that they may be able to pray together in one accord as your people prayed on the day of Pentecost. So please, O Lord, be with all of us and bless us with the blessing of the Holy Spirit for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Amen.
Now, I would like to share a few things with you about the things that the Lord is doing in Hammersmith among the Hungarians. You may think that this is a new mission that we are doing there, but actually it's not. It's quite an old one. The church was established in 1948, and that was quite a long time ago. And since then, it has been going on, and things have happened since then. And the Lord called us there 6 years ago, and then I had about half a dozen people at the church. And they were all elderly, and we had about two or three young people, and then we started to work there and pray there, and as I mentioned before, the Holy Spirit has been working in that place and has blessed us tremendously. And when I arrived there, then I was able to see a mission field to work with the Hungarian students and au pairs that were living at that time in London. And I can remember those days I have been complaining that they stay only for a year. Now I wish they stayed that long now. they stayed for a year and then they went back to their country of origin. They left for good. And during that period, many people had been saved and we had seen great blessings. And as I mentioned, we had people saved almost every month. The Lord was very gracious to us. People were just coming in and they were saved. And the Lord was very good to us in opening the doors, how to reach them, because they were all coming as au pairs or students. And I knew all the universities where they were coming. I knew all the au pair agencies. So by the time they arrived to London, all of them basically had a leaflet from us in their hands. They knew where we are. They could come at any time, at any point, and listen to the Word of God and talk to us on a day-to-day basis. And that was great. And that did work for about 4 years, till Hungary joined the European Union. And everything changed overnight. And what I noticed that before the European Union started, started, then I had in the church an average of 60 people on a Sunday. When Hungary joined the EU, the average people coming turning up at my Sunday was 35. So numbers have dropped. The simple reason, because there were no more students and there were no more au pairs, because they were allowed to take up jobs without us actually having to ask for a visa. So they realized instead of working for £50 a week, they could work for 500. So they chose that one. And that was the time, as you know from the Bible, the root of all evil is the love of money. And it is just a fact. And that was the time when numbers went straight down. And whatever I did, however hard I tried, I just couldn't get the people in. But the other fact that we noticed, it was that till then I had about 5,000 people coming to London each year. And the official figure today is 15,000 Hungarians living in London today. And that has changed tremendously. And I was just praying and praying. I said, well, Lord, you know where these people are. You know how I could reach them. I don't know. There was only one thing I could think about. And I knew I wouldn't be successful in asking for it because there's one place that they have all their addresses, and that's the home office. And obviously, they won't help me with that. And I can't blame I can't blame them either. But we have been praying, and the Lord did answer the prayer, and the Hungarian election came up, and all the Hungarians were allowed to give their vote at the Hungarian embassy. So what I did, I prayed for 3 days and I said, well, Lord, if you want us to be there, let us allow, give me the permission to be there at the election day, and all these Hungarians that are living in London, we can meet them all in one day. And then we just prayed about it. And some of my friends were praying about it as well. And then my cousin Prabhu Zashi was here at that time, and I asked him to come around and help me out on that day, because I knew that I'm going to have a lot more work to do than I could cope with. And he came down, and my parents were around, and they helped me out as well. And we all went out to the Hungarian embassy after 3 days of prayer. I asked permission from the person in charge of this election if we could be there. And he said, oh, yes, you are very welcome. You can come inside the building, and you can give these invitations out inside the building that you may not be disposed to any hooligans or anyone to bully you in any ways. You can just be inside, and we will treat you as our own staff. And that was just an answer prayer. Mm-hmm. And guess what? The day after, I received a phone call from the embassy saying, well, young man, did you know the fact you were doing was illegal? And I said, I'm very sorry, I didn't. That's why I asked permission from you. And they said, well, we knew from day one that it was illegal, but we'll let you got on with it. And that is something that I can say. It was the hand of God. Because the High Commissioner at the Hungarian Embassy was and still is a very strong atheist. And he could have stopped me immediately, because he was the first person to come for the election, and I shook hands with him. He could have told me, well, young man, out. But he didn't. He didn't. He let me got on with it. And then the Consul General came. Again, we shook hands. And he said, you are very welcome. Just stay on. And then complaints were going in. And there is a rule in Hungary that when you have the election going on, you can't give out any sort of picture in the building where the election is taking place. So I was doing something against the law, but the Lord opened the door. He kept it open for me, and when complaints were going in, they were all barred. They didn't touch me, I wasn't punished or anything. They said, well, next time when you come, we won't let you inside, you stay outside. Because if you are inside the embassy, you are on Hungarian ground. When you are outside, you are on English grounds, you do whatever you wish. So they said, well, next time, you know, your place is outside, not inside. So that was a real providence of God. And then we were able to meet most of the Hungarians that they were living in London or outside London at the same time. So we praise the Lord for that. And then the church has been filled again. And since then we have a church full. Every Sunday people are coming, and we praise the Lord for that. Because he opened the door, and as I said, he is the one who brings the people in. He is the one who saves them, and he is the one that takes them away. And as I spoke to one of my pastor colleagues, he said, well, you know, young man, I have the feeling that the Lord keeps me humble, but I don't have many people saved. And I think that the Lord keeps you humble by sending all these born-again people away. And the Lord has his ways, and I praise the Lord for him, for that. And one more thing that happened just recently, Romania joined the EU, and a quarter of Romania used to be Hungary, which means there are Hungarian speakers. There are loads and loads of Hungarians in Romania. That's where I come from originally. So when I say I am Hungarian, that's a fact. But also, I come from Romania. I was born in that country. And although my mother tongue is Hungarian. And there are thousands and thousands of people like that. And they are coming to London today. And my mission field is getting bigger and bigger every single day. And I just ask you that you may pray for us, that we may have wisdom how to reach out for all of these people, because we have tried. We are trying. I basically wrote to every single Hungarian newspaper in Romania, which is 20 of them. They published all of them, without exception. They all published my article, and a number of people did turn up after that. And we have been doing many other things to publicize ourselves. We have website, and also we have I always put up adverts, very simple ones. I have one of them is here. That's what I put up on shops. wherever I think that Hungarians may go, then one of these adverts is up there. This is the church building where we live and work. And people can see it and they can come to us, so they can find us if they want to. But nevertheless, as I said, their number is huge, and it's much bigger the number that I can reach out for. So I'll appreciate your prayers and for wisdom in this matter. And the other thing that we try to do to attract people is we are organizing evangelistic trips to Scotland, to the seaside, Cambridge, Oxford, you name it. Whatever a tourist might be interested in, we try to do it. And we do it with a view of evangelizing people. And when we started doing these trips, then we had people saved, but basically every single trip. And we were praising the Lord for that. But whenever we went up to Scotland, what I always did, and we went to Bala, to North Wales, I always go with my people and I ask someone local that I knew, all I know, to preach for us an evangelistic sermon. And then afterwards, I catch up with them, with the people, and talk to them about the message that has been preached for them. So that is one sort of thing that we still do. And the other thing is that the Hungarians love is my rice cooking. And if you remember me 4 years ago, I used to be like that. Look at me now. I think that says something. She cooks really well. And she cooks a lot. And my Hungarian friends, they all love it. And that's an attraction to all of them, because we do make fellowship meals about every other month. And we have Hungarian barbecue together. And they just come together, and then we try to share the gospel with them at that place as well. And also we have families coming now to the church, which we never had before. As I said before, we had only Hungarian au pairs and students. So what we had in the church at the first place was the older generation, what I mean by that, 70 plus, and we had the young ones, 20 plus. What we have now is the young professionals. We have young families that are coming here. They are here on short terms, usually 6 months, the most for the year, but they don't really stay that long. They move on all the time. They're always on the move, and they just come, they stay for a short time, they go on. But in that short time, the Lord speaks to them and hopefully can save them. So for the first time in the history of the church, we do have a Sunday school, which we never had before. And my wife is leading that. So poor lady, she never listens to any of my sermons in the church. She's always in the Sunday school, so I always have to pay for her. And then we listen to it afterwards. That's a good thing, because then I can get humiliated how bad I preached. You know? I can see it for myself and then learn from my own mistakes, hopefully. So that is another encouragement, and also a matter for prayer, because when we started the Sunday school, we started with our 3 children and an extra one. Now, the average number of children turning up to the Sunday school is about 10. And the age group is between 3 and 15. So my wife could do with a help, and I will appreciate your prayers in that matter, that the Lord may provide a helper for my wife, who can deal either with the smaller one or with the older ones, whichever way. And there are a few other matters that I would like to praise the Lord for. If you remember last time when I was here, I was mentioning a leaking roof. I don't know if you remember that. I had about 7 leaks above our flat, and I don't know how many in the church hall. Now, by the grace of God, that has been fixed. And you may say, well, that's a small thing, but it actually wasn't. Because it's a listed building, it had to be a glass roof. And that cost us a fortune. And for a small congregation as ours, it was an extremely big step, extremely big challenge. And that was an answer prayer. You won't believe it, but the bill for that roof was almost £100,000. And that the Lord gave us that money, it was a pure miracle. And I could tell you stories after stories how the Lord provided for that, us with that money. And not only that, even more, because by now we did the roof, we did the floorboard, we've changed the windows, and Today I still had builders on the side doing the main entrance. And the Lord is just wonderful. He provides everything that's needed. And I would like to talk about that, that's needed. Not above that. He gives everything and we do things in stages. And we just praise the Lord for that. That He's wonderful, He saves people, and He provides in a material way for all our needs. So, overall, I would say, my heart is full of joy to be able to see the hand of God working in this place and seeing people saved and seeing His provision from day to day. And I would like to thank you very much for supporting us as a family as well. But like I just recently, we just had a large gift given to us through EMF that was donated by your church. So thank you very much for that. And thank you for all your prayers. It has been very much appreciated. If you have any questions, please fire me now. No, they live all over Britain. Yes, the chief elder that comes to our church lives in Ipswich. I have people coming from Southend. I have people coming from Manchester. So you name it, people come from all over the place. Those people that live so far away, they don't come every single Sunday, but they are there at least every other Sunday. And people that live nearer, they do come every Sunday, and they are there, and they are great encouragement to us. But I would say the average person that comes to church travels 1.5 hours to get to us. And that's the average. Most people travel more than that. But some people more than that. No, we are the only one. We had a church up in Manchester, but I had to close it down. Just couldn't cope. So that's why occasionally they still come down to us from there. Oh, yes. Sorry? Well, some of them died. some of them are still about. I still have them. There was a resistance to the work, but now they got used to it. And maybe I got a bit softer with them as well. I don't know how it worked, but I think the Lord gave us wisdom in these matters. But by the grace of God, we do get on well now. So things are better. I think one of the main problems that was when I arrived before me in a period of 10 years, I was a seventh pastor. It just gives you a picture how they felt about pastors. So they were trying to attack me and pinch me wherever they could. And try to make my life as difficult as they could. But as they noticed that I stick to the word, I got on with my job, and then I think when we had the last argument with them, then they said, you know what, Pastor, as far as the church is full, I don't care what you do. That was our last agreement. They said, well, as far as people are coming to the church and they can see that the Lord is blessing us, then they will let me get on with the work. And I try not to interfere with the financial side of the church, so basically I don't deal with the money at all. And they don't tell me what to preach. So in that way we get on well. Everyone does his job. Well, as I myself, I am one of them. So I just try to find them. And that is what I said, that I wrote to the newspapers. I am putting up my website as a link to the Hungarian-Romanian websites, so people that are looking at it, then they can find us easily. Because now, in the modern age, everyone looks to the internet. So that's one way of trying to contact them. But it's far from being easy, I must admit that. There are some very good evangelical churches, so that is quite encouraging. But as far as I am concerned, what I am most concerned about, when someone gets saved, I like to send them back to a local church, and I do have that link. So wherever people come from, then in a relatively short distance, I can find them a good church, so that's quite good. I have only one meeting, and that is mainly because of the distance that the people come from. In the past, when I had the students, we had 4 meetings a week. I had a midweek meeting on Wednesday, then I had a Friday meeting, and I had 2 meetings on Sunday, and usually some sort of outreach on Saturday. And the good thing with that was that they were students, they were au pairs, they had no families, they had no obligations or responsibilities, they were able to come. But now with the young professionals, they just simply don't come. And even if some of them are born again and they are believers, they just move on. I can tell you a simple example. In September, I started a Bible study on Fridays, and in February, I had to close it down because everyone moved away. So the fluctuation of people is extremely big, so I just simply can't make it. But as soon as I have, again, enough people to start up a midweek meeting, I start again. But unfortunately, it's very difficult to get more than one meeting a week at the moment. But what I am doing at the moment is I try to have something at the weekends. I mean, on Saturdays. As last Saturday, we had a Hungarian meal. Now, this Saturday, it's free, but the next Saturday, I'm going with them to the seaside. So I'm trying to find some way of involvement with them, something that is attractive to the young families. So it's quite challenging. Well, only the elderly, unfortunately. All the young professionals, they all move on. I have, at the moment, the elderly congregation, which is about, I would say, the most of 15 of them, that are there every Sunday. And I have 2 young families that are there, that are staying in England on a long run. But that's it. So, it's quite small. Most people just simply come and go.
This is not right yet, and it is highlight for us matches from Christ
World. Yes. Okay. Well, one method for prayer is always convergence. So I'll appreciate your prayers for conversion. The Lord may save many people as they pass through. The other thing that I would like to your prayers to, it's how to reach them. Because as I said, it's a constant battle, and the day I spent basically all morning just trying to send out these leaflets to different places where Hungarians get about. So the conversions, the outreach, the Sunday school, and more people to stay. Because what I would love to see, it's a church. It's lovely to see a mission center, and it's lovely to see people say that I would like to see a nucleus of people that I can say that's a church. And that's something that I haven't had in the past 6 years. And although the Lord has blessed us tremendously, we are very happy with it, but nevertheless, it's still a mission station. It's still not a church. So these are the main prayer methods.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.